Good morning. A couple of Sundays ago, we talked about what true faith looks like. Well, there's more to faith than what we spoke of a couple of Sundays ago. The conclusion we came up with is that true faith demands obedience. We went through all the scripture that showed us that faith is not alone, and faith alone cannot save you. Well, today we do the part two, and I didn't really officially call it part one and part two, but if you have faith, do we have faith? Do you have faith? When we look at faith, it means to fully trust, to put your trust into someone or something. And people do. They put their trust into many people today. We look at politicians. We vote in politicians to go to the Capitol and to do what we hired them to do, right? We put our trust into our favorite athletes to win games. We put our faith into our favorite celebrities to make good movies, don't we? But what happens when they break that trust? And they will. They always do. Do we lose hope? Do we lose trust in them? Absolutely we do. But people continue to put their trust into a human being, and that's the problem. And not just human beings, but things. I remember one year we went to the beach, my family and I, and they had these plastic chairs, and you probably know what I'm talking about, the patio plastic chairs that sit out on some people's porch. I put a lot of trust when I sit down in one of those. You're talking about plastic and, you know, a 280-pound guy. I still have trust issues because the one I sat down on the pier on the beach broke. It snapped. But we put our trust into things, into people, and 90% of the time that trust will be broken. Because when we're dealing with human beings, they're flesh and blood like we are. They make mistakes, absolutely. I remember, who here has watched Full House? The old Full House in the 90s. Or not even that, Andy Griffith, whatnot. Well, they get these people to play these characters who are very well-respected, well-known, very clean individuals. But when you find out about their life outside of that show, it'll throw you back. I remember learning about Andy from the Andy Griffith Show, and who he was outside of the show was a completely different person. Or Bob Saget, who was the father on Full House. How he conducted himself outside the show, it blew my mind as a kid. I had trust issues. But when you grow up, you learn these people are putting on this mask, becoming an actor. And so, yeah, they're not the people they are to be on these shows outside of it. Why am I saying all this? Well, we put our faith into people, into things, but we never fully put our trust in God, who has proven 100% of the time that he keeps his promises. And we look throughout Scripture, we look at his promises. One of them, he'll never forsake us. He promised that to the Israelites. He promised that to the apostles. He promises that to us today, that he's always with us. Has he broken that promise? Absolutely not. Another one is that he's fully in control of his own creation, right? We know that he is fully in control. No matter how bad it gets, he is in control regardless. We can trust in him to keep that promise. But so many refuse to put their full trust into God. And it's a problem. And these same people are in the church. And of course, we know the people are also of the world. And so we have to realize faith is to put your full trust, to fully rely on God. Because when we look at our main text here in Matthew chapter 17, starting in verse 20. We won't read the whole text just right now, but we see here, verse 20, so Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. Let's stop there for a minute. Because of your unbelief. What's Christ talking about here? Well, throughout this passage, a boy needs to be healed. And so the father brings this boy to the disciples. But the disciples could not heal him. And so what does he do? Starting in verse 16, so I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Verse 17, then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? So here's the whole background. The disciples failed to heal this boy. But he brought him to Christ, and Christ cured him that very hour. He cast out the demon. And the disciples come and say, why couldn't we cast him out? And then we see at the beginning of verse 20, he gives them the answer. Because of your unbelief. Now, of course, we know the disciples believed in who he was. Yes, they would struggle throughout a little bit trying to understand who the Messiah was, because the Jews pictured the Messiah as this warrior to come down, set up a physical throne, and to take over the Romans, to wipe them out. And they would struggle with that idea throughout his ministry. And even, really, we see, well, is he truly the Messiah? Because as we see later on, he talks about, he predicts his death and resurrection. And so their unbelief, it's not that they don't believe in him, but do they fully rely on the power of God? Because we know it is only through the power of God which they will be able later on to do the same things Christ is doing. Performing these signs and wonders. And we see the apostles will carry that on. And they're given another promise. The promise of the Holy Spirit who would descend upon them. And so when we look here, really what it is, they don't truly fully rely on the power of God. We look throughout Christ's time in his ministry. Who did he rely on? His Father. He relied on the power of his Father throughout the whole time, even his time going to the cross. He fully relied on his Father. Do we? Or are we like the disciples? In Matthew chapter 21, verse 21, so Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what has done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, it will be done. Now, is Christ talking about a literal mountain? No. I've tried it when I was younger. Be pretty cool, though, wouldn't it? We have to understand throughout Scripture, Christ has told his followers, his disciples, it's going to get hard. There's going to be times you face tribulation. There's going to be times that you face persecution. But what does Christ promise them in John? For I have overcome the world. With the help from God and fully relying on him, you can overcome anything, can't you? You need to fully rely on the power of God. God is all powerful, isn't he? He has shown throughout time that this is his creation, that he is the one true God. We go back with the Israelites, all the signs and wonders they saw with God delivering them out of Egypt, delivering them from the hands of their enemies. God has the power to do all things. Why not fully rely on God, who is all-powerful? Why are we fully relying on human beings who are not all-powerful? It's truly amazing. You know, I see, of course, people who struggle with illness, people who struggle with trials that come their way, financial trouble, whatever it may be. And I can understand from a human standpoint blaming God. You got to find someone to blame. That's out of the anger. That's out of the frustration you're feeling. Absolutely, I understand from a human standpoint. But he told us it would not be easy. That's another promise he made. People are going to hate you because they hated me before they hated you. Understand that. You carry my name. You bear my name. They're going to hate you. They're going to persecute you. I've been called a lot of names throughout my years as a Christian. But I understood it was going to happen. I'm going to fully rely on God and His power to get me through this. He doesn't always deliver us out of situations. He doesn't always deliver us out of everything. A lot of times, He will guide us through it if we rely on Him. We will go through problems, troubles. But knowing and fully relying on God and trusting Him, He will get us through it. And He always does. I think back about situations I've been in as a Christian. Situations I thought, boy, this is going to be a problem. I may not get through this. But then a couple of days later, I'm looking back and thinking, I'm still alive. I fully relied on God to get me through that problem, and here I am standing today. It's amazing how it works. In Romans chapter 10, verses 17 through 21, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say that, have they not heard? Yes, indeed. Their sound has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I say, did Israel not know? First, Moses says, I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I will move you to anger by a foolish nation. But Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I was made manifest to those who did not ask for me. But to Israel, he says, all day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. Those who hear the words of Christ and obey will fully trust and rely on Him. Look at Israel. We're studying Judges on Wednesday nights. Do they really show true trust in God? They don't. They will when troubled times come upon them, when nations come in, their enemies come in and overtake them. Absolutely, they cry out. But how about the years of peace, the 40 years, the 18 years, the 20 years of peace they have after a judge is raised up and delivers them? It's easy to fully rely on God during the good times, isn't it? But we see Israel disobey God. They go right back, once the judge dies, they go right back into sin. They go right back to turning their backs on God, not relying on Him, and they turn to a false god, a false idol. This morning, we had Paul deal with that. A silversmith who made idols for a living. The goddess Diane. People took and held to that. Believed in that nonsense. They put more trust and faith into these false gods, man-made gods, then they do the one true God. And we do it today as well, don't we? We have people who put more faith and trust into the stock market. They put more faith and trust into their jobs, even into themselves. My wife and I watched this documentary on this guy. He was a free climber. And what a free climber is, he would climb these cliffs, these big mountains, rock climbing. But he would do it without any gear. All he had on him was a little pouch with chalk on it that he would put on his hands to get better grip. He would climb these huge, one slip, he's dead. There's no coming back from it. And one mountain that he conquered that no one has really conquered, he climbs it. Now, he does put in preparation, of course. He'll climb it first with some gear and study these little cracks and crevices where he can reach in and grab, and his footing. It took him months. He climbed this up and down to find these little paths. But this guy, he was scared, but he knew who he was and what he was capable of. To him, this was just another day of climbing. To him, this was just another day of really preparing how he has always done it before. He put trust in himself and his ability. People do that. And there's nothing wrong with that, absolutely not. But when we can't put our full trust into God and fully rely on him, what are we saying by doing that? How can we even proclaim to be Christians without true faith? Without obedience and without fully trusting, relying on him, we're not Christians. It's so easy during the good times, but it's so hard during the hard times. But really, we need to rely on God in every situation. We need to rely on God and fully trust him with every decision. We really need to work on our faith as Christians. Because we see here, going on back to our main text in Matthew 17, verse 20, because of your unbelief, for surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Have you ever looked at what a mustard seed looks like? It's one of the tiniest seeds. And Christ here is telling his disciples, if you just have faith like that mustard seed, how big a faith is that? When we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 through 5, Paul here is writing to the Corinthians, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Faith of a mustard seed. Christ says, you can move these mountains. You can overcome all things if you just have seed like a mustard seed. Or faith, I just say it, faith like a mustard seed, sorry. People who don't have faith put their faith into the wisdom of men, human wisdom. They believe every word that comes from the mouth of a human being. But then they question Scripture. They question God. The wisdom of God, nothing can compare to, not even human wisdom. It doesn't come near to the wisdom of God. So little faith. If you have this faith the size of a mustard seed, you can do many great things. You can overcome anything. And yet, do we even have faith the size of a mustard seed? Do we have that much faith? Or do we have no faith at all? Because we're told in Hebrews 11, without faith it is impossible to please God. If you don't put your trust in God or you don't fully rely on him, you're not going to please him. You want nothing to do with him. You're going to be focused on other areas of life. You're going to be focused on your work, your school, whatever it may be. And you start neglecting God. And people who do that, they see their spiritual life shattering, but all around them. But the solution is simple. Turn back to God. Put your full trust. Put your full trust and fully rely on Him, and you will see things get better. Luke chapter 17, verses 5 through 6. And the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. It's not so much great faith that is required, but faith in a great God. Morris Leon. I love that statement. It is not so much great faith that is required, but faith in a great God. If you have faith just as the size of a mustard seed, but that faith fully relies in the power of God and a great God, you can overcome all things. You can overcome any obstacles, any temptation, any trial that comes your way, because your faith is in a great and all-powerful God who's bigger than those trials, than that temptation. Your faith, you don't need to be a spiritual, faithful giant. You just need to put your faith in a great God, and all things will work out. Maybe not the way you want it to, but knowing and trusting that God knows what's best for you. It's that simple. Do we? In verse 21 of our main text here, however, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Matthew 17, 21. Once again, going back to prayer and fasting. This kind doesn't go out except by prayer and fasting. Once again, we see throughout Christ's teachings, He puts emphasis on prayer. Christ Himself would go off and pray to the Father, spend time with His Father. How important is prayer and fasting? When we look at prayer, when we study prayer, what are we doing? We're going to God. We're relying on God. We're trusting in Him. We're communicating with Him. That's what prayer is. When one fasts, what are you doing through that process? You're relying on God. You're putting your trust in Him. You know, fasting, yeah, besides that, yeah, it has health benefits, of course. But fasting is such a great thing because it draws us closer to God. Prayer draws us closer to God. We're fully relying on Him in both of these processes. When we look at fasting, and I got a mix turned around here. Matthew chapter 6, verses 6 through 7 here. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, but they think that they will be heard for their many words. When you look at the prayer that Christ tells His disciples there how to pray, it's all going to God. They're fully relying on God throughout that prayer. When we pray for the sick, who are we putting our trust and relying on when we ask for prayer for the sick? God, because we know we pray for the sick to be healed. God has the power to do so. Now, that doesn't always mean that He will, but He can. That's why we rely on Him during those times. We give Him the glory. We give Him the honor. When we fast, Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have the reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Prayer and fasting are two major things that the early church practiced. and practice not only together, but on their own. It's important that we see that through prayer and fasting, that when we grow closer to God, we're going to truly trust in Him and fully rely on His power. We're going to draw closer, and we're going to know that through anything, no matter what I go through, however big or small the situation is, I have a God that I can go to, that I can rely. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. Can't escape the presence of God. Who wouldn't want to trust in Him? It's so important. And I can't stop saying that. It's so important that we understand true faith, that it's not only being obedient, but it's also trusting and fully relying on the power of God. It's what faith is. Instead of putting your faith into a politician to do what's right, understand these are human beings that can be corrupted, that can be paid under the table to do the opposite of what you want them to do. Putting your faith into an athlete to help your favorite team win, they're going to let you down. 9 times out of 10, they're going to let you down. It happens. But putting your faith in God will never fail. God will never fail you. You will fail Him, but He will never fail you. So why not put your faith in God today, fully relying on Him? I can tell you, through temptations, you can't do it on your own. You can't overcome temptation on your own. It's impossible. Your flesh will overcome you. But fully relying on God through that temptation, through those times, He will help you overcome. God always provides a way out. If you can't find it, ask Him. If you're not a Christian this morning, I pray that you learn to put your faith in God. And not just faith in general, but true faith. Faith alone cannot save you. Even the demons believed and shuddered. Doesn't mean they were saved. Doesn't mean they were right. They didn't obey. So if you're not a Christian this morning, I pray that you believe and obey the gospel. That you give your life to Christ this morning, because it'll be the greatest decision you ever make. This is how you do it. You hear the word, Romans 10:17. You believe the word, John 3:16-17. You repent of your sins, Acts 3:19. You confess your faith in Christ, Romans 10:10. And then you must be baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38, Galatians 3:26. But it doesn't stop there. You must remain faithful. You must every day put your full trust and fully rely on God and obey Him. Obey His word. And from there, you move on into this wonderful journey, having a relationship with an all-powerful, all-knowing, omnipresent God, who never fails to keep His promises, who's always there with you. During the good and bad times, He's there. Or if you are a Christian, and your faith has slacked a little bit, you've lacked in your faith a little bit, and you've fallen back into sin, understand God is still here waiting on you to come back with arms wide open, ready to receive you if you just come forward and repent of your sins and renew your walk with Him. So if you hear this morning you need any assistance, come while we stand and while we sing.